Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Now let's get into the word. I have something powerful to share with you. Are you ready for the word of God? Now, one proof of a true apostolic ministry is that you are able to find the uniqueness of everyone's call under you. All right? And you make sure that you give them the requisite training, not for them to fulfill your call, but their call. I can't tell you how important that is, because there is a kind of curricula that will only produce pastors. You are not listening to what I'm saying. Did you hear what I just said? All right. Now, turn your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I have a lot to share with you in a short time. And we have to be through on time so that we can see the Lord move this evening. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 18. It says, and I say also to you that you are Peter. Everybody read from there on, one, two, go. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Listen, it's a popular text, and I know you think you know what it means, but we're about to find out if you really know what it means. Pastor Joy, to come here quickly. Now, I know, come on, stop that. Pay attention. You have fun, so. So, now, tell me honestly, how many of you subconsciously, by mental modeling, always thought that when the Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? If you had the picture, just push against me, do like this. If you had the picture that the gates of hell was trying to prevail over the church, raise your hand. Be honest. If you thought that God was preventing the gate of hell from prevailing over the church, raise your hand. Thank you for that honesty. But guess what? Gates don't move. Listen, we had the whole story in the reverse. We thought that the gates of hell are playing the offense and we are playing the defense. But gates, before I even give you the insights behind the text, think about it. Gates don't move. Thank you. So that's where I want to start. And think about that. Gates do not move. So what is happening here? One thing that is going to help you understand what is happening here is the geographical context. So let's look at the geographical context. The first thing you need to understand is that this event happened in Caesarea Philippi on a rock. The meeting place where Jesus was talking to his disciples and said this was on a rock in Caesarea Philippi. So listen, when he said on this rock, he meant it literally. Come on, are you listening to me? When he said on this rock, he was talking about a literal place. I will tell you why that is important. The second thing is, that rock in particular had a nickname in that community. And you can fact check what I'm saying. Would you like to know what the nickname was? It was called the Gates of Hell. So that place was actually called the Gates of Hell. So now, let's get deeper and let me tell you what this was really about. So the gates of hell was actually a rock in Caesarea Philippi. It was a rock that had caves inside, caves in it. And there were a lot of pagan priests offering sacrifices of goats and children in that place. They offered a lot of sacrifices of goats and children. So they were throwing them into the cave's abyss to appease the gods. And because of the heights, just imagine this gory sight. Whatever they threw in will die by the time it hits the floor. The blood will be splattered all around, you know. And they had some weird practices. If the blood flowed to the surface, it means that the gods rejected the offering. You know, so it was a dark place, dark place. Another interesting fact, I will come back to this another time. But one of the caves had a deep spring that the people in that day believed to be the bottomless pit. Of course, they were wrong. But that cave also had a very deep pit that was called the bottomless pit. I'm going to come to that another time. They believed it to be the gate to the underworld. So there was a lot of demonic practices and demonic worship surrounded around that geographical location. Now, this is what was happening. Because of the Jewish culture, they considered that place to be spiritually defiled. So the Jewish people, especially the devout Jews, didn't go near that place at all. Some of you can relate to what I'm saying. You are a churchgoer, you know, you're speaking in tongues and all of that, but maybe there is an area around your house that there's a shrine and your parents warned you. Some of you know what I'm saying? So you just know to avoid that place. Or maybe there is one Orita Meta, you know what I'm saying? Three Road Junction, and they used to offer sacrifices. You are tongue speaking, but you've believed it to be wisdom to just avoid it. Now, it's the advent of Christ. It's time for the establishment of the ecclesia and of the church. And of all the places in Jerusalem, of all the places in that region where God can institute his church, he chooses that very dark place. Are you listening to me? He goes to that place where pagan worship had been happening. And he said, on this rock, I will build my church. He was being offensive. He was the one who went to their territory and said, we are going to see, listen to me. The same place that the demons erected their gates, he wants to plant a church there. I will take this territory from them and the gates of hell will not prevail. They won't be able to do anything about it. Oh my God. So Jesus wasn't playing defense. You have to understand, we are the antagonists in the story. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We are the antagonists in the story. We are the instigators in the stories. We are the one going to satanic territories to take it. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, this move is unstoppable. Are you listening to me? I will build my church. And the devil won't be able to do anything about it. So now picture this. In an era where what it took to be religious is just know your way to the temple, offer your sacrifice, ignore what the devil is doing. A lot of people have learned to do church that way. Maybe on your way to church, there are brothels that you just avoid. You know, some people, even when they want to evangelize, they first look for the people who look nice. I saw a video and it made me almost cry. And I pray the Lord reaches that guy wherever he is. One stern-looking gangster. He said, one of the reasons I'm sure that Christianity is not true is that in all my life, no Christian has ever preached to me. You can't possibly believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and yet no one has preached to me. Isn't that a shame? That there are still people in the world, and I'm not talking about places that are openly hostile to the gospel. I'm saying in your vicinity. They look hard on the outside, but they're looking for people to preach to them. And they're wondering why. They are your friends. They see you praying in the office, and they're wondering why you've never spoken to them. Because we've been sold a version of Christianity. You know, just allow them to do their, let's just carve our own nice space. Let's not disturb anybody, and then just put our stained glasses and worship there. No, Jesus is turning everything around. He said, on this rock, on this rock, on this rock, on this rock. Look at the way they are looking at me. I said, on this rock, he said, I will build my church. Do you know what that means? Let me tell you how that translates into your own context. It means in the darkest parts of society, you will shine the light of Jesus there. You know those neighborhoods that decent families are avoiding because there are brothels there, you know, and prostitutes there, you know, so you move your house so that the devil can have his way. No, no, no. God is sending you there to build NGOs and bring them out of that lifestyle. Are you listening to me? Maybe you are here. You used to belong to a gang. You used to be number one or number two. You used to identify with different colors. It is good that you are a tongue-speaking believer now. But what if the Lord brought you back, brought you out to send you back? Come on, are you listening to me? He will send you back to all those terrible societies. You open your shirt and show them your scars. You say, listen, I've done more than you. And Jesus changed my life and he's about to change yours too. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. You can't have Bible revival playing it safe. You have to go to where the darkness is. You have to go there. Go where the darkness is. That's where light is needed. On this rock, I will build my church. You know, in our ministry, this has been the legacy year. That's the prophetic theme we've been going by. And every member of this church was expected to have a social impact project. And for my wife's personal social impact project, she went to a place. And let me tell you what they do in that place. They go out, they evangelize prostitutes, the ones that give their life to Christ. They bring them in, teach them a vocation, give them education. They support them. Come and tell them about it. Put your hands together for her. Climb up. Come, come. If you hype my wife, hype now.
Thank you, Apostle. So the name of the place I went to visit is Blossom Rehab Home. So what they do is prostitutes that want to leave that business. When they go on evangelism, anybody that wants to leave the business, they bring them to the home. So I remember when I went to visit, I said, how many of you can speak in tongues? And all of them raised their hands. And I said, where did you learn to speak in tongues? They said, here. So you have people that maybe, there are some people that, one of them, it was her father that sold her into prostitution. In fact, that one, it was Pastor Shalaunde that led her to Christ.
Let me, you know what? This just tells you, gives you a glimpse, by the grace of God, of the impact of this ministry. Because in that home, she finds a lady who Pastor Shola led to Christ. Pastor Shola, where are you? Pastor Shalaunde. Where is he? Is he here? Overflow, okay. We have pastors in the overflow. You know, very interesting story. He was walking on a prayer walk. He saw her and the Lord said, talk to her. So when he was approaching, she stood well. Like, she said she was looking for a sugar daddy, right?
No, she said she was looking for a sugar daddy that she wanted to follow him home. So Ina said, you can't follow me home. My wife is at home, but I can tell you about Jesus. So that was how she got born again. And now the same girl is resuming university this year. So you have many of them that are learning skills. They're just really growing spiritually, emotionally, and business-wise. In terms of school.
Thank you, Pio. Listen to me. There are many of such visions we'll be partnering with. The Blossom Homes, I've not met her. I don't even think she had... Okay, you invited her. I don't even think she attends this church, but visions like that are worth supporting. Do you agree? Because I know what it's like. There was somebody that told me evangelized to. Remember that story? In Yabatek. And she said, I want to accept your Jesus, but I make 200K per week. I'm the one taking care of my family. Will you foot that bill? Now, dear evangelism endo. So when you see a vision that gives accommodation, gives them a skill, that, are you listening to me here? Oh my God. Say with me, the unstoppable move of God. So right now, as I'm speaking to you, God is giving you ideas. Those dark places in your community, you will go there and you will put the stamp of Jesus there. Bam! You will turn those dark places to a place of worship. Are you listening to me? People will accept Christ. They will be filled with the Spirit. Go if God sent you. Not everybody can be witnessing to prostitute. Before they evangelize you, you will be their convert. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Popular text, very simple. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ." Now listen, he says, "And he diffuses the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Are you listening to me? Everywhere you go, you're not just a student. You're not just someone who got a job. You are diffusing the knowledge of Christ in every place. You go on social media, there is a lot of toxicity. You diffuse the knowledge of Jesus. Add your voice. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. We go to places that are dark and we take it over for Jesus. It's going to take radical faith. The church that Jesus Christ is talking about is a locomotive church. We are not playing defense. We are moving. We are the ones taking territory. Are you listening to me? I will build my church and the gates of Hades. He has given you an assurance. The gates of, it means you can take the territory without consequences. You can. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted. See, this should be your mantra. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out. Every plant. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, when you go online or you see in the news satanic ideologies about marriage, about money, you know, and different cultures, you have a responsibility by the anointing of the Holy Ghost to pull them down. Don't just react and say, this culture, you have a responsibility. Esther, that's why God has given you the influence he has given you. You have a responsibility. Casting down imaginations. Why are people imagining these kind of things in my generation? I will cast it down. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ by prayer, by apologetics, by social impact. Just in case you don't know, this is not the kind of church. We're not here to be another large church. Stay in our fancy buildings. Listen, this is our training center. We will train and deploy you. Send you out as arrows. Just imagine my wife going somewhere to see Pastor Shola's convert. That's how you know you are doing something right as a ministry. Diffusing the fragrance of Christ in every place. The church of Jesus Christ is a colonizing church. We go to territories, we reconfigure the settings and the atmosphere to be consistent with the knowledge of Christ. If prayer is not common, we'll make it common. Are you listening to me? Whatever satanic ideology is there, we will delete it. Delete. 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 Kai, pray in the spirit for a few seconds. Pray in the spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. See, get away from that fragile Christianity. We have a brand of Christianity right now that is more concerned about being noble than being evangelical. You don't want to be found in some places because you don't want them to stain your whites. You know, I've said it many times. Not many pastors have the audacity to do ministry like Jesus. To not be afraid to be misunderstood. That they catch a woman at your feet, rubbing her hair on your leg. You go trend. He sends the disciples to go and buy food. By the time they came back, you are talking to a Samaritan woman. You know, the same way, if you ask a lady, so maybe a lady you're interested in, sorry, are you in a relationship? And she says, it's complicated. It means she's keeping the chances open. There may be someone, but she has not decided on the person. Why are you asking us if you don't know what I'm saying? So when Jesus said, where is your husband? And that woman said, I have none. It wasn't just a lie. She was saying it in case.
I go lie for you.
She was positioning for Jesus in case. And even women like that, believe it or not, on the outside they look like bad girls, but they have questions about God. As soon as she discovered she might be talking to a prophet, she had Bible questions that even Pharisees were not willing to ask. She was more interested in God than some of these sanctimonious religious people. And without knowing who she was talking to, when Jesus answered, she said, anyway, all these questions, I can't wait for the Messiah to come. He will answer all our questions. Can you see that? Because what you will realize is that some of these people that you've looked down on, you're probably not better than some of them. Their parents failed them. You probably would have done worse in their shoes. Their parents failed them. I'm in ministry, I know what I'm saying. There's a lady we had to put on scholarship instantly because, I will tell you why. Her mother was telling her daughter, 15-year-old girl, you are too beautiful to be looking for school fees. What does that mean? And was deliberately trying to push her to some senior old men. I know one of them. The day I feel happy, I'll call him out. Stop playing church. Go out there and do the work. Are you listening to me? Go out there and do the work. And stop being so sensitive. You know, any small thing. There are some people, religious watchdogs, the world is entering the church. Did you not hear what Jesus said? He says the light shines in darkness and darkness comprehends it not. Stop being afraid and do this work. I want to make a very strong case for you, and I will give you, I know it takes convincing, so I will give you 10 examples quickly, and I will be out of here. Remember I told you yesterday that of all the ways that God could use to reveal himself to Nineveh, he chose Jonah coming out of a fish, knowing that one of the gods that they worshipped has the emblem of a man coming out of a fish. I told you, right? Oannes, right? So it just tells you that God can take what is a secular pagan culture, seize the influence, superimpose on it. So when people think that there must always be a sharp difference between prevailing culture and the gospel, they don't know church history. I said Constantine also, he looked to the sun to pray to the sun god and saw the cross there. God is saying, listen, I'm the God of the sun. I'm the God of the sun. Are you listening to me? And if you study carefully, you will see that now his conviction was just, okay, the sun god is actually Jesus. God slapped his image on the culture. And there are so many examples. Let me give you one key one. So, I don't know if you started counting. This is probably number 3. What? Okay. Anyway, let's just move on. Now, one of the most popular names in Jewish culture is the word El. And it's a very popular suffix to many of their names. Israel, Bethel, Peniel, Eliezer, right? Either prefix or suffix, Eliezer. Guess what? Of course, El means God, right? But here is something that will interest you, and feel free to fact check this. Historically and archaeologically, El wasn't the revelation of God given to the Jews. El was the name they called God in the land of Canaan where the Jews took over. So when they took over, instead of fighting and saying, no, his name is not El, he's Yahweh, they took the name. Are you listening to me? They took the name. Is that what you call God? Your gods are dead. They took the name and they attributed it to God. They made it more popular. So now when you think of El, you think of the true living God. Not, are you listening to me? So a church that is afraid to superimpose on culture doesn't know church history. Do you know that the Bible was not the first account of creation? Go and study. In Mesopotamian tales, there were accounts of creation. So the Genesis account was used to rival that account to point the world to the true creator. Now, what I'm saying, you don't know about it because the Bible's account has become the most famous. That's how to shape culture. Are you listening to me? Let me shock you. Logos is not a spiritual revelation. It's not a spiritual. In Greek tradition, Logos was seen as an invisible force, an invisible architecture, an invisible wisdom that was responsible for the intentionality in the fabric of creation. And so John comes in and says, whom you ignorantly worship. In the beginning was the Logos. Are you listening to me? The Logos became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. He took from their tradition and said, that's Jesus. Oh my God. Superimposing on culture. Now, let me bring it home before I continue all the Greek and all of that. Yoruba people in this place, shout hallelujah. Are you aware that most of the Yoruba titles you call God were not originally used for God? They were used in idol worship. Eru Jeje was used for Shango. Akoda Asheda was used for Orumila. Olowo Gbogboro was used for Ogun. Alagbara Biara was used for Shango. I can go on and on. Listen. And so, when Christian missionaries came in, they said, oh, nice titles. That's the real Olowo Gbogboro. His name is Jesus. That's what they did. So I'm telling you, People who are always sensitive to culture, when you hear one music that seems like from the world, you are fidgety. You are bringing, the world is entering the church. Yes. We will take the style, we will do it better, we'll put Jesus in it, and we will do it so much you will forget where it started. What do you mean devil music? Has the devil ever created anything? Even the wisdom of the people creating it is God's wisdom that they are perverting and using for a wrong cause. Nice music, we'll take it. Maybe you should go and watch the interview. And the thing is, unfortunately, the church, we never learn. We never learn. We keep making the same mistake. What you are now calling church music was once criticized. You know, now, some people are critical of maybe Afro gospel. And they want every music to sound like Pastor Paul. Ironically, during Pastor Paul's time, he was criticized as singing devil music. I interviewed him myself. He said one of the days he was playing lead guitar, in box guitar, in church. And they considered strings. Imagine, you will know people who don't read Bible. Strings as being of the devil. That lead guitar was of the devil. So, the pastor accused him of seducing the girls with his guitar. He asked the ushers to lift him and throw him out of the church. So, as he was playing with his eyes closed, he felt, I'm leaving it. Is it the glory that is elevating me? What's happening? And they threw him out. There's a legend you should know about. The man called Ransom Kuti. J.J. Ransom Kuti. He took European hymns, translated it in Yoruba language, made a lot of Yoruba hymns, and he was criticized. They said he is westernizing the church. Many of the Yoruba hymns that we now call holy, as against Afropop and you know, all those things, were also criticized. We keep repeating this cycle in every generation. Listen, is there worldly music? Yes. See, there are some songs that have Jesus all over it and I can't sing it. You know it's just flesh. But there is also an extreme. Many times, I don't know why we keep waiting for people to die before we recognize them as heroes. Our only discernment is church, in church, is to say, there's somebody here. We can't even see a clear move of God. You can't see what God is doing. There are people we owe apologies on. Somebody came out to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Eh? And then you are criticizing him, saying he's dousing the consecration of the first one. As if the first one would disappear because he sang his own. Why are we like this? We have allowed religion to affect our love work. You know, there's somebody, and I will speak in parables. There was somebody active in his church. He had an accident almost twice in one day and almost died. It was clearly an attack on his life because he had an accident. He was flung out of the car the first time. So when he stood, miraculously, he wasn't hurt. So he's looking at the car, tumbled. Another car swerved off the road and almost hit him. He had to run away and it hit the other car. So if I remember the story right, the writing was even unconscious for a while, you know, and all of that. So now he now has to use some form of headband because he's committed to Christ. His engagement, he was still going to do it. So now he goes to the church, hiding his scars to do his ministry. And some people are saying, you are wearing head covering as a man.
May the Lord help us.
Let me give you one more. You know, it seems like when the Lord wants me to teach on something, he just start bringing things my way that corroborate the point I want to make. I was somewhere and I was listening to a pastor friend talk about something very profound, Pastor Ayo Ajani. And he was teaching from 1 John 5:4. I want to show you something interesting. Look at that. Oh my God. He says, and whatever is born of God overcomes the world, right? And this is something you should probably meditate on as we talk about the unstoppable move of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. Now, for those of you who have the Greek lexicon, quickly check, what is the Greek word for victory? Check. I want to give you a few minutes. Actually check it. That's how I'll know those of you who have studied Bibles. You have social media, you know, get Bible. What is the Greek word for victory? Someone said Nike. Nike is actually Nike. Listen to me. You know the brand Nike? This is the ideology. Now listen to me. In those days, Nike was actually a pagan god that was believed to give soldiers victory. So when they are going to war, they'll put the emblems of Nike, all right, on their flags, on their shields, and on all their war materials because they believe Nike will give them victory. And so now John is coming to superimpose on the culture. And he says, this is the Nike. Are you listening to me at all? He said, this is the Nike that overcomes the world, even faith. Not that God you are worshiping, even faith. So superimposing on cultures, pointing cultures to the true God. I told you on that boat, they were worshiping God of the ocean, God of the, save us from this storm. And Jonah introduced himself. He said, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the true God who made the seas, who made the sun. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what evangelism is. Coming into different cultures, seeing the Greek saying the unknown God and saying him who you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. That's superimposing. The Church of Jesus is locomotive, not reactive. We have a generation that likes to react. All these movies these days, a lot of agenda in them. Make your own! And you can be so used to playing church, and you don't know how to maintain that energy for actual social impact. I'm glad that when we call for a prayer meeting or a camp meeting, thousands of people will show up. I mean, the sermon I preached yesterday has 160,000 views on YouTube right now. And thank God for that. Now, when we say we want to mentor you to go out there and shine the light of Jesus in the movie industry, in politics, in all these places, you need to see that it is important also. Go there. And whatever the devil is doing, do it better. Take that territory. Again, I'm saying to you, on this rock, I will build my church. What is that rock that God has given you to take over? On this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. If you see any generation where the influence of Christ is low, it is because God's people were silent. Band for band, nothing can ever usurp authority over the gospel. Nothing. If any other thing is more famous, it's because God's people were not determined enough. You know, the world came to a point where intellectualism was now associated with atheism. You can't be highly intelligent and be atheist and believe in God. You are a scientist who believes in God. Why do you think that became famous? Because everybody wants to stay in church. And even those of you who are first class think that the only way you can praise God is to stay here and clap your hands. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? You have work to do. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Say a loud amen if you believe it. That amen can be louder. In this ministry, we will have soldiers full of the Spirit. Doctors full of the Spirit. Politicians full of the Spirit. There will be people like Daniel, of whom it will be said, nothing could be found against him, save for the knowledge of his God. Do you know what it means for a politician to have that kind of integrity? That we are trying to bring you down. We are looking into you and we cannot find any inconsistency. In Babylon, if you do it, nobody will criticize you because that's the norm. But yet in Babylon, you stand out. That's the will of God for your life. See, leave the preaching job for us. We'll preach. Go out. We need people outside. Go out. Build apps. Are you listening to me? Build schools. Listen to me. Every influence God gives you is for the kingdom. Every influence. Think about it. Do you see anywhere where the Bible says Esther heard from God directly? Nowhere. But because Mordecai knew the things of God, he knew you can't just rise fast for nothing. If you are here, God put you here for such a time as this. And if you don't know this, as anointed as you are, you will now start using the resources God gave you like the world. There's a reason you have so much money. Listen, like in Esther's case, there's a reason you are fine. Even if it's just beauty. Still get sense, but you understand what I'm saying? But even if it's just beauty, every advantage I have will count for the gospel. Say loud amen. Nehemiah didn't hear from God, though. It was just out of sheer passion for the kingdom. I heard that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. He loses his peace. He had job security, but he couldn't take it. This is how people stumble their way into the anointing. Stumble their way. That's how Nehemiah has a book of the Bible. Even Elijah no get. Are you listening to me? It's not a competition. I'm just letting you know the kairos of God, the providence of God, and how it works. You might never preach a sermon, but what you are doing is more relevant to the kingdom than you can ever imagine. You are here for such a time as this. Here for such a time as this. The gospel will not lose influence, not under your watch. God didn't raise you up for the church to suffer, for kingdom ideologies to suffer. Come on, are you listening to me? Oh my God. I'm scanning what to say, what not to say. Let me wrap it up. What are the consecrations that will preserve you to be able to shine like lights without compromise? What are the consecrations? You see, sometimes the church acts as a bad parent. And this is what I mean. Any parent that has not trained his children enough not to compromise even in their absence has not done a good job. If you have to police people all the time, you don't believe in your parenting that much. Newsflash, you can't keep your children in the house 24/7. They will grow, they will leave the house. And it is the values that you've instilled in them. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, maybe we are keeping people in church because there is something wrong with our curricula. Train them well and send them out. If people go into politics and embarrass us, the problem is not that politics is that dark. It's that they were not properly discipled. And it starts with little things. Please have a church. Are you listening to me? Have a church. See, one of the biggest things you can get right spiritually is to find a good church to belong to. I know we don't really understand this because we are in an age of individualism and, you know, iconoclastic tendencies. Everyone wants to be an authority by themselves. Some of us have spiritual trauma and we don't even know it. You learned too much on your own. In our parents' generation, for most of them, if you were going to be spiritual, it's because you invested, you bought books, you did everything. Because many people don't know what it means to belong to a church that actually meets their spiritual needs. I just dropped something there. Can you depend on your church for knowledge? Knowledge. No, I'm not asking you now. That is how it's meant to be. Pastors here, let me teach you something. Prepare your curriculum in a way that if you were the only fountain that those people were drinking from, they would be all right. You know, in some charismatic churches, there are some things we take for granted. We just gather together, say, let's speak in tongues. You assume they know how. You have no sermon on how. You have no sermon on what it is. You have no sermon to answer their questions. Every ministry must have how-to sermons. Don't assume they know how to pray. Don't assume. Teach everything. Build the foundations. And for you, understand this. Aye, my God. It is one of the best ways to train your children. Let them watch you serve the Lord. You, in all your glory, great CEO, but you are serving as an usher in church. Or teaching the children's church. Or, you know, during the first session, I saw Lemo Blaze with headsets on his head. Thank you very much for all you do. He's part of the media team here. Please celebrate him. One of the biggest things to show your children is how you honor the Lord, how you serve. And it will be your security. You know, I see some people and I know they don't have Christian friends. You can't post this picture if you have Christian friends. You can't post this picture. So, there are some pictures you should post and your phone should be buzzing. Hey, yes, sis. Was your account hacked? There are some gowns you should wear. Then you ask, where's your trouser? Don't just come out, wear pocket square as skirts and be going out. Don't you have friends? And mind you, we have some problems with guys too. You wear the tights. You say you're going to the gym everywhere. Unnecessary curves are curving. What's your aim? What's your mission? Listen to me. Sometimes you are struggling spiritually. You try to jumpstart your walk with God. He's still struggling. Let me show you what the Bible says very quickly. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in his trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Listen, some of you don't even understand this. See, one of the ways to prove that you have spiritual dysfunction is you are struggling spiritually and it doesn't occur to you to tell someone, pray for me. It doesn't occur to you. You know, we've designed a kind of church in this generation where it's all about looking good than actually being good. You are struggling, there's nobody to talk to. And sometimes with good reason, because if you tell the wrong person, you are in trouble. Ye which are spiritual, restore. Restore. This is something we need to really learn. There should be people in your life who can, in fact, they should be close enough to notice, bro. Why do they pray like that? Come, talk to me. What's going on? This is not you. You were out of church for 2 weeks. Nobody noticed. Ye which are spiritual, restore. And by the way, this is your divine role in the life of your friends. Don't allow them go down the drain spiritually. Don't allow them. Don't be the kind of Christian who is a do you type of Christian. Your truth, my truth. Yeah? Jesus is the truth. You must conform. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but just raise your voice. Have you ever been fighting an inconsistency and some Christians will not allow you go on in your foolishness? You were fighting them that they should let you be, but secretly you were glad they never let you be. The next time you are on somebody's case and they're acting like you are pissing them off, remember this, oh. Remember this. You drive to their house. We are going to church. Wear your clothes. 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 In fact, make it a point of duty. By Friday, there should be 4 people you are calling. So am I seeing you in church? You are a discipler. Am I seeing you in church? Set your alarm. 5 p.m. on Friday. This Sunday will be so powerful. I will be at your doorstep. Come on, are you listening to me? You're going to need to attend a good church. Number 2, you're going to need to learn to protect your priority. As believers, we believe that success must never be at all costs. Are you listening to me? For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? There are some contexts and conditions you should be given, and you throw away the money and influence 1,000 times over that you stand before the king of Babylon and say, and we are not even careful to answer you. Throw us into the fire. There are some conditions you should never meet to keep your job. Never. Never forget this. Seek first. Seek first. Seek. Let this be a mantra in your family. Jesus first. in my life, Jesus first. Are you listening to me? Jesus first. Jesus over money. Jesus, I will rather be poor than live a life without Christ. Money is not at any cost. Miracles is not at any cost. I will not be so desperate, I will go to sketchy places in search of miracles. At the door, they ask me to enter with my back. Did I just hear one? When you see red flag, you run. How do I explain that to our international audience? Mwah. Hallelujah. Number three. Embrace your supernatural edge. Don't be ashamed to identify as a Christian. I'm a Jesus boy. I'm a Jesus everywhere. Tell it to everyone. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will save you a lot of trouble. Save you a lot of trouble. Don't bring this one to me. Listen, there are some things they shouldn't bring to your table in the office. In fact, they should be afraid you will cast them. He won't want any part in this. You should be the problem there that, how do we do it without him knowing now? Carry Jesus on your head, though. Carry Jesus on your head. And that's the only way to grow in the anointing. If you're ashamed of Christ, you can't grow in the anointing. Be bold. Allow them to laugh at you. It's okay. I'm a Jesus boy. I'm a Jesus boy. I'm a Jesus boy. I'm a Jesus boy. I will be in church on Sunday morning. I'm a Jesus boy. Jesus boy. You know, these are the priorities that Christ had at the age of 12. He had to almost, he was surprised at his parents. You looked everywhere for me except church. Did you not know I will be about my father's business? Where else would I be? It's an annual tradition. December, either first or second week, you know where to find me. I'm in church. Jesus boy. Hallelujah. If you need to, pray in your office. As long as you're not disturbing anyone. And if it's your company. It depends on what you do. In some contexts, we are Jesus people. Oh. We are Jesus people. We're not trying to disturb you. I wish I had more time to talk about this. Time is fast spent. One of the things that has made the body of Christ weak is because we are the only overly tolerant religion in the world. It is only you that they demand tolerance from. Don't say Merry Christmas. You will offend some people. What about the rest? Why can't they be more inclusive with you? We will need another session for just this one. And then number four, you have to contend. 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 Lord, I'm content with whatever you give me. But for as much as there is opportunity, I will seek for your influence to grow on my account. Contend. Contend. You compete for space. I've told you time and again, that one of the interesting things in the Bible is that they used athletic terms to talk about your commitment to Christ. So the way Paul said, don't you know that many run a race, but one receives the prize? He's using sports analogy. That you can be inspired from the commitment of athletes. People running the Olympics, they have 4 years to prepare for those doing 100-meter dash for a 10-second race. Everything they eat, the time they wake up, the time they sleep is with 10 seconds in view. Do you know the level of intensity it takes to do that? And so, Jude says, compete. The word epagonizomai, contend, compete for the faith once delivered unto the saints. It means, if your faith will prevail, you're going to have to compete for it. You're going to have to deliberately stamp it in your generation. Deliberately. He will multiply us, will not be small. Shebi, I've been saying this since when we were 150 in number. Have I not been saying it? Well, I've just started though. What is number one? What is number two? What is number three? What's number four? Did you learn anything? Just stand to your feet and give God praise. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Listen, even if it's a few minutes, talk to God about what you just heard. Maybe there is a reason I studied the course I studied. Maybe there's a reason I have the job I have. Maybe there's a reason I have the exposure that God established me in education, in tech, in finance. It must be for a reason. It must be for a reason that I have this photography gift. It must be for a reason. I'm contributing to the advancement of the cause of the gospel. Kai, lembras kafa haktasa, with wisdom and power. I have resources. Do you believe it? To do what he says. I'm thoroughly punished with wisdom and power. Oh my God. I have resources to do what he says. Oh, I come in a couple. Anointed me. It's exactly 2 years since God gave me that song. Listen, I think it was 2 years ago. That year, Reboot Camp was the second week. So the first week I was praying with Pastor Nelson, Poco, and some, remember? And Pastor Geno Robo, and the song came. So you have to understand, some of these songs are not music. For me, note of victory comes with a sound. It comes with a sound. So, in case you're looking at Celebration Church, how are they able to do all these things? I'm thoroughly furnished. Yes, so. This is a prophetic moment for you. Hey. Hey. I'm thoroughly furnished. With wisdom and power. And I have resources. Come on. Sing God as resources.
I have resources.
Yes, so.
To do what he says.
I'm totally furnished.
I'm totally furnished. With wisdom and power. I have resources. To do
I'm anointed to set the captives free. Oh.
I'm anointed.
Do you believe it? Hey, say.
I'm anointed.
Anointed to preach, anointed to teach. Oh. Say.
I'm anointed.
Yes, sir. So.
I'm anointed.
Yo. I'm sponsored to do the will of God. Oh. Yes, so it is the time for shifts. It is the time for shower.
I'm anointed.
The rain is falling, the showers are heavy. One more time.
I
Come, trumpeter. Tell them. Come forward. There is an anointing to build and to plant. Listen to me. Mark my words. Viral sounds are coming out of this house. Viral movies coming out of this house. Viral arts in fashion, in every industry, coming out of this house. The song says, doors of nations are opened. Listen, you've been trusting for access to nations. It has come. Do you believe it? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory. I have resources to do what is. The funding has come, oh. The funding has come. Morning has come. You know? Hi. Hallelujah. You believe it? One text and we're out of here. Look at Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Verse 12, verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Let me tell you something. The placement of this prophetic word is very strategic. Because just in chapter 11, some people gathered together to make a name for themselves. God was against that. He shut down the project. So as a proof that God is not against ambition in general, but against selfish ambition, right in the next chapter, God himself tells somebody. He was on his own. And God said, I will make your name great. Did you hear what I said? When God takes you out in the cool of the day and says, lift your eyes and see as far. So there is such a thing as not looking far enough. Mark my words, too. Levels are changing again. And I don't mean that in a competitive, carnal sense, but I believe, indeed, as the word of God says it, that they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. I believe that we are here to be impacted with a new vision, with a new fire, to be sponsored by the Spirit, to do all that He has destined for us to do. So shall it be. So what I'm doing is helping you not to narrow your vision. You will not just be great in church. You will be great out there. You are not the light of the church. You are the light of the world. Tangible solutions will be born through you. Open your eyes to it. Media houses. We will no longer be afraid of propaganda. Because media houses are being burned. Just help anyone who falls under power. Media houses are being burned by the anointing. You see, some of you are not used to the anointing falling on people. It's not just for healings. There is an impartation for these things. Look at what is happening around now. In the annexes, in the overflows, all around the world, impartations, mantles are falling. The anointing to build, to plant, to pull down. Anywhere that the kingdom of God needs to be established, the anointing is resting on you for it. Now! Listen to me. Those who have followed me for years know it. I was still an undergraduate in 2010 when the Lord told me beside my bunk that in 15 years, you'll be one of the leading apostolic voices in this nation. How can you intellectually conceive that? 15 years is 2025. Look at where we are. I'm not talking about ambition. I'm talking about God coming to you and saying, I want to do something with your life. I want to tell a story with your life. I want to advertise my name. I want to use your life as my billboard. So shall it be. As you return to your different localities, those localities will shake. Because a new you is emerging. A new you is emerging. I call you blessed. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed in your going out. Blessed in your coming in. Listen to me. God knows how to make visions viral. He said, I will do a work that will make the ears of them that hear it tingle. Meaning, I will do something that they will talk about. May the Lord himself advertise your work. I know what I'm saying. No? Every single day, someone dreams about me. Every single day. Great and small, notable people, the kind of people who DM me and say, it happened yesterday. A great man in this country called me. He said, 3 nights in a row, I had the same dream. In the dream, I was in my village helping people. And just then, I was overpowered by demons. And I was about to give up. Then you came as a giant and drew me out. It happened 3 days. Now, he now said, any way I can support your vision, any way, just tell me. And then you say funding is not supernatural. Just one last time and I dropped the mic, I promise. You are thoroughly furnished, say, I'm thoroughly furnished. With wisdom and power. You have resources. Yes, so. Dance to it and enjoy God, say. Act like it's your note of victory, say.
With wisdom and power.
Enjoy God, what he has done in your life. Sing it again, I'm thoroughly funny.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.